Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God the glory and the honor and the praise on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for being here today. Welcome to the summit with Adam Tuggle on today. Minister Adam Tuggle, in Jesus' name, God bless you. I'm praying that everybody is having a very, very blessed day. Praying that everybody is having a very, very good, had a very, very good week. And I'm so blessed to be here on today again, to be with you guys on today. We have a very, very powerful, powerful topic on today. And today, you know, the Lord had dealt with me about a lot of different things. But the Lord had, I went to a service on last night. And that service that I went to was a pastoral anniversary service, or it was a pre-anniversary service. And that service, the Spirit was so high in that service. During the word, the Lord to the word of the show on today. And the topic that we are going to be talking about today, very, very powerful, and it's very, very on time, very, very timely. What we need is something that the Lord has dealt with me about, and have dealt about on several occasions. What we're going to be talking about today is, are you ready for war? That is the title of this topic on today. Are you ready for war? The reason why we are talking about this topic on today, because we are living, society, the world that we live in, we are living in perilous times. We are living in the last days. And it is imperative, and I mean it is imperative, that we as believers, we as the saints of God, we as the people of God, whatever you call yourself, that we are on guard at all times. We have to be, because we are living in the last days, like I said, and we, in the last days, the devil himself is going to be fighting much harder than what he did in the past. He's going to be fighting a lot harder in 2021 than he did last year. Why? Because he knows that his time, along with ours, he knows that his time is short. It's rapture time. It's almost time for those that are the saints of God and those that are believers. It's almost time for us to get out of here, y'all. Amen. It's almost time for us. As the old saints used to say, it's almost time for that old song, in that great getting up morning. But we, as the saints of God, as the Bible says, we have to occupy until he comes. Now, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord shall appear. But when he does appear, we have to be ready. And while we wait for him to come, we must be on guard. Because the devil is shrewd, the devil is our enemy. He is our enemy, okay? And he does not like anything that we do. He doesn't even like the fact that you and me, Bishop, anybody, whether you be saint or sinner, he does not like the fact that you're even alive on today. Because And the reason for that is because if you are a believer, you're a saint of God, you have another day to destroy the devil's kingdom. Amen. And if you are a sinner, you have another day to come unto this great salvation. That's why he does not like you. That's why he does not like me. He hates the fact that, look, I'm gonna give you a brief thing right here. He hates the fact that I'm on the radio talking to you right now. He hates that. Why? Because the word of God is going out. He doesn't want that to happen. He hates the fact that Bishop Cook is over here, you know, promoting the Spirit Alive Network. Why? Because it gets the word of God out there. Amen. There are people, look, and the reason why he hates it, because us as people, the Bible says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. So what that means is that his word is going to go out everywhere. That's why nobody would be left with an excuse on why they have not received salvation. That's the reason why. Because this word is going to go abroad. What do you think we have radio for? He didn't say how the word was going to get abroad in the future. Amen. He didn't say how, but he did say the word was going to get spread abroad from the United States on down to the nearest country that does not believe in Christ. Because he's going to give everybody a chance and opportunity to come into this great salvation. So the devil doesn't like that. He does not like the fact that you are listening to this show right now. You've been listening to this show all month or all year or whatever. If you've been listening to the shows on this week, he does not like that. Because you've been getting substance. Because you've been getting something to feed your soul. And he doesn't want your soul to be fed. Because if your soul gets fed, if your soul gets fed, if my soul gets fed, that is power for us. It's just like the natural body. If we don't eat, we could die naturally. If you sit here for a whole month, if a person sits there for a whole month without eating or drinking anything, you know that they could die. That causes problems for the human body. You don't eat anything, and I mean nothing. I'm not talking about now. And when I say don't eat anything, I'm not talking about fasting. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about a person that just does not want to eat at all, period, or drink anything. No water, nothing, no substance whatsoever. They'll die. They'll die. And that's the same thing with the spiritual. Your spiritual body, your soul, is doomed for damnation if we, as the people of God, and just as people in general, if we do not take on the word of God, and if we do not eat the word of God, if we don't have substance in us, we can't withstand the wiles of the enemy. We won't be able to. We will be the walking dead. If you ever seen that show, The Walking Dead, we're going to be like spiritual zombies walking around. Might as well say that, because your spiritual life does not have any substance. You can't fight the enemy. Amen? And this is what we're talking about today. I'm building this up, getting us ready for the topic today. But this is what we have to do. We have to be on guard at all times. Amen. We have to be on guard at all times. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how much money you make. Because the devil don't care. I'm going to tell you that now. The devil does not care about how much money you got, how much family you have. Don't come at anybody. He don't care. And I don't even take a deep breath in. He don't care how good, how
He said if he could fool the very elect, he would. That's why it's good for everybody, not just sinners, saints too. We got to be on guard. Because you are just a hop, skip, and a jump away from losing this great salvation. It's because of the Lord's mercy that we can have.
It's no greatness of my own that I'm, it's no greatness of Bishop Cook's own that she's saved. It's no goodness of our own. We didn't save ourselves. But it's of the Lord's mercy. Okay? So, we're going to dive into this topic. Are you ready for war? And I'm still filling the services from last night, so if you hear me praise the Lord, it's in between. I'm giving a disclaimer now. Amen. We are in a constant spiritual war daily. From the time we get up to the time we lay down, 24 hours a day, we as the people of God must be ready at all times. I'll say that again. We are in a constant spiritual war daily. From the time we get up, time we lay down, 24 hours a day, we as the people of God must be ready at all times. How do we get ready? And when we say we need to be ready at all times, does the Bible back this up? Are we on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 24/7? Are we warring in spirit all the time? Do we have scripture to back that up? Yes, we do. Let's go to Matthew 3:11, verse number 12. Amen. Let's go there now, and I'm gonna read it in your hearing. And like I say in every show, make sure that if you got a pen and a piece of paper, or your phone, or your tablet, or anything like that, write these scriptures down. I want you to write these scriptures down and go back and study them for yourself, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of God. We have to study. Amen. I don't want this to be something that you just got from Minister Adam. This is not Minister Adam's word. This is the word of God. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to see it and read it and hear it and study it for you after the fact. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12, it says, "And after the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." We're in a constant war, spiritual. We're in a constant spiritual war. We're not just warring for ourselves. This spiritual war that we're in, we're warring for everything. We're warring for ourselves. We're warring for our family. We're warring for our friends. We're warring for things that we need, for things that we need naturally and spiritually, for things our parents need, for things our pastors need. We're warring for our churches. We're warring for our bishops. We have to be on, because the devil's not going to ease up. Amen. The devil is not going to ease up on us. He's going to hit us as hard as he can with everything he's got. And we have to do the same. And last night, while I was in service, the Lord, we were in the middle of praise service. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Step on the devil and stand." We have to learn that in the spiritual war, we have to step on the devil's neck. Not just him, step on his neck. Because we got a lot of people that are in the church, out of the church, that are getting stepped on. They're getting stepped on by the enemy. They're getting stepped on with the things and the problems and the cares of life. Amen. They're getting stepped on. But it is now time for us, because we have the power of God on the inside of us, to step on the devil, to step on the problems of our lives. We're in a constant, this is good. We're in a constant war. Now, how do we prepare for the daily battles? We must have, now we must have on the whole armor of God at all times. We must have on the whole armor of God at all times. And I said it's Bible, so I'm going to read you the scripture. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, I'm going to read these verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse number 12. For we wrestle. Now watch this. Now I love this verse. Because, and before I read it, I'm going to say this. I love this verse because most of the time when we go through things, or we're dealing with people, I'm talking about dealing with people, we think as people of God that we're dealing with the individual, that we're fighting against the individual. We're not fighting against the individual. Some people that are in the world or even in church sometimes, do you know that the enemy can creep in and use somebody to come against you or somebody else? He can. But the Bible, but the Lord has warned us about that. He's warned us. He's given us a warning. Here goes the warning, right? Here goes the warning. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's people. That's people. Okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That shows you. That shows us, that shows me, that shows us that we are in a spiritual war down here on earth. Because it's said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against our family, our mothers, our fathers. The war is not against them. The war is not against even the people that don't like me. That's not my war. Somebody don't like what you say or like what you do. That's not a reason to have a war with them. You're going to have people that don't like what you stand for. But that's the spirit that is on the inside of them. That's not them. They have a soul just like you. They got to spend eternity somewhere just like I. Amen. So when you think people coming against you or people talking about you, just know, look, I'm here to warn you right now. It's not them. It's not them. Now, if you are a person that does not have the Holy Ghost, yes, you can be taken over by demonic. Can be at all times. A person does not have the Holy Ghost can be taken over by demonic. Amen. And sometimes we, as people of God, can let our flesh dictate to us. I ain't gonna just throw the people that are not in Christ. I ain't just gonna throw them under the bus. I'm gonna throw the same side on the bus too.
mighty and got their nose up in the air, that's the spirit too. Get over it, Bill. Build a bridge, get over it. Well, I'm hey, don't think I'm getting over it. You got a fair season, fair season. Or anybody else that calls themselves a saint of God, you got a Pharisee and some spirit that you are high and mighty, that can't keep you out of heaven. I'm just going to tell you now that you're out of heaven, thinking that you're better than somebody else that can keep you out of heaven. It's the Bible says it's the little fox that destroyed the vine. It's the little fox. It's the little thing. I heard somebody, I've heard it down to my life, you remember the saying, oh, it's just a little white lie. Well, guess what? That little white lie can keep you out of heaven. That little white lie that you call a little white lie keeps you out of heaven. Because no sin will enter into the kingdom. Because that kingdom is holy. That kingdom is righteous. You can't just take anything to heaven. Going into a place that has VIP. You know what VIP stands for? Very important. That's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. VIP. Heaven is VIP. It's very important. He thought that you were so important that he died. So important that he died. He went to the cross so that you might have life to the tree of life, so that you might have your VIP ticket to heaven. Because before he died, man itself was separated from God because of sin. Sin stinks in the nostrils of God. He cannot stand sin. He doesn't like it. Why do you think he kicked the devil out of heaven? You might say, well, what? The devil was in heaven? Yes, he was. He was the archangel. He was the archangel. And guess what? I'm going to share this. This is another topic for another day, but let me tell you something. With spiritual war, with this war, you have to watch what you do. You have to watch what you listen to. You have to watch what you have to watch what you see. Amen? You have to watch, because you got gates. You have gates. You got your eye gate. You got your ear gate. You got your heart. You got your mind. And if you just let anything enter in, it can corrupt. We talked about it on last week. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Well, that evil communication, it doesn't matter. Communication doesn't just mean conversation. Communication could be what you watch on TV, because those are spirits. Look, let me show you something. And I learned this. That's why you can't, that's why every type of music you can't listen to. Why? Every music is not good music. I'm going to tell you this. Every music is not good music. Even in the gospel realm, too. I'm going to share that, too. You got to watch people. You got to know them. You got to try the spirit by the spirit. But do you know? And I'm going to share this with you. Do you know that people, some people in the music industry, they have satanic people pray over their music that people might listen to it? And you wonder, and if you listen to something or if you watch something and you keep doing it, you keep watching, keep listening to it or whatever,
it will affect your psyche, your natural psyche. It will affect your natural brain system. Because whatever you put in you is going to come out of you. This is good teaching. This is the old school teaching. Right? Whatever you let come into you, my former pastor used to say, the real man will come to the door eventually. So whatever you put into you, the Bible speaks of, whatever a man thinketh, so is he. Amen? Whatever you think, that's what you are. Amen? That's why the Bible tells us to protect our minds. That's why the Bible says think on these things. Amen? This is a war, y'all. This is all in spiritual war that we have to do. I'm going to do this right now because the Lord is leading me to do it. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you want to leave a testimony, you can do that at any time. You want to be saved, you need to know the steps to salvation, you can interrupt this show right now and I'll give it to you. You got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can call in. You can go on the message board. You can even send in your questions. Bishop Cook will let me know if you have a question in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get back into this. Now, when you look at I said before that how do we prepare for the daily battle? Well, this is how we prepare for it. We must have the whole armor of God at all times. Even when we're sleeping, we got to have on our armor. Well, you might say, well, we're asleep. Why do we need our armor on? Do you know the devil fights even when we're sleeping? The devil tries to fight. The devil will fight you even in your dream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is what we need to do. I read some of it, but this is it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You may be able, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to explain to you this verse. Having your loins girded about with truth. That is you. Amen. Having your loins girded about with truth. Surround yourself in truth. Amen. Surround yourself in truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what the breastplate of righteousness is? That means having on righteousness to protect your heart. When you see a man, the old wars of the Roman empires and all that stuff, they used to have on breastplates. They wear bulletproof vests. That's to protect their chest. That's to protect their heart. Because if a cop gets shot and they don't have on a bulletproof vest, it's a possibility that they're going to die. But if they have on a bulletproof vest, what is true best, then it's a less chance of them dying because they got on the vest. Amen. That's the same thing we need. That's why it says, that's why the Bible says, the breastplate of righteousness, to protect yourself, to protect your heart. Amen. We must have not only the breastplate of righteousness, but we must have, in verse 15 it says, and hat and your feet turn with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means your feet need to be walking in peace. You're not flowing into mischief. You're not trying to wear the next gossip column. You're not always in mess. Amen. You're not always gossiping about somebody. And Lord knows, the saints of God, they can gossip. People can gossip. People can tell things about you and all that stuff. It really doesn't have stuff. Above all, take the shield of faith. The shield of faith, y'all. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Faith brings life. Faith protects our life. Every day, and let me show you that faith protects our life. Every day you walk out that door, you're riding in your car. If you're just staying in your home nowadays, because I've seen people, I've heard of people, they have sat in their place and gunshots started ringing out. People have gotten hit and died in their home. But you and me, we walk in faith. We talk in faith. We ride down the street in faith. That protects us because that's our belief. Faith is nothing but belief in God, that he can and he will. And do you know that faith is a weapon? It shows it. It shows it right here. When we talked about the shield of faith, that's a weapon. Do you know? Okay, let me show you something. This is something that the Lord showed me. Do you know the weapon that we have? And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But that's okay. Do you know that the weapons that we have in the spiritual to fight in this war that we're in can activate the weapons that we use? Like, say you're using the shield of faith. You're using faith. Do you know that activates more weapons? So how does that activate more weapons? Might be looking at the radio like, okay, what do you mean? If your faith brings out, okay, it brings out belief, okay? Now watch this. When you believe in something, you're going to act upon what you believe, okay? So if you believe that God is able, and somebody says, somebody in a prayer service, or you heard something in a service one time, and it draws back to your memory, and they say, well, if you believe it, praise God for it. Praise God. Even though you can't see it, still praise God for it because you believe that he's going to do it. Praise him for it. And you start praising him, you just activated another weapon. Praise is a weapon. You just activated another weapon, a weapon to activate another weapon. And then you start praising God and start praising God and start praising God. Because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. And you start praising him for the thing that you want or the thing that you need because you done activated your faith and belief. You activated your faith and believed God even before God even moved anything, before God even did anything, which made you praise him. Now you done fell into praise. Now Now you start worshiping him in the midst of your praise. Now you got activated another weapon. Worship is another weapon. You done activated another weapon. Now God is just, wait a minute. Now hold up. And I'm paraphrasing, y'all. The Lord is like, wait a minute. This man, this woman, this my child is praising me. I ain't even gave him the blessing yet. And now you done move God. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So what that means is if you want somebody saved and you believe that they can become saved, and then you start praising them for their salvation.
Yes.
You start praising him for their salvation. And then all of a sudden, God sees your praise. He says, thank you, Jesus. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be.
Yeah.
So not only have you activated with, not only have you moved God from heaven, but you've now moved God in the midst of you. Because he said, thank you, Jesus. And then you begin to start praising him, and you begin to start pleading the blood of Jesus. He said, well, I see the blood. I'll pass over it. You move God. Now you done activated God. Now God has to move. That's what I'm talking about. Now your warfare, now the spiritual warfare of God, now the spiritual warfare for the devil done got all messed up now. Because now God is done. Now God is in the midst of this now. God just wanted to see how far you would go. Will you praise me in the midst of it all? In the midst of money, in the midst of having no money in the bank. In the midst of not having, and I'm going to go here, in the midst of not having a stimulus check. Uh-huh. In the midst of a pandemic, can you still praise me? Can you still believe in the midst of people losing their jobs all around the world because of a pandemic? Can you still give me praise? Do you still believe I can provide for you? And you start activating your faith and your praise and your worship and your giving. Man, you moving God. You move him. And that's warfare. Because don't you know, and you just messed up the enemy's kingdom by you doing that? Well, how did I mess up the enemy's kingdom? Because you just confused the enemy. Your praise confuses the enemy. Your worship confuses the enemy. Well, how does it confuse him? How does it confuse the enemy, Adam? It confuses him because he thought he had you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He thought he had your faith. He thought he had your joy. He said, well, just like Job, he thought he had Job even before the Lord allowed him to touch it. He thought he had Job. How do I know? You might say, well, how do you know he thought he had Job? Because he told God to his face, said, if you just let me, move your hand, God, and just let me touch him, he'll curse you to your face. He thought he had it. He said that he told a bold-faced lie, too. He told a bold-faced lie. He said, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord knew that Job wouldn't curse him. The Lord knew. The Lord knew. How did the Lord know? Not just because he knows all things. It wasn't just because of that. How do I know that the Lord knows what? How do I know that the Lord knows I'm going to come out of this? Because the Bible says he won't put more on you than what you can bear. That wasn't even in my notes. Look at that. This is the key to warfare, y'all. Are y'all ready for war? Are y'all ready for? Look, I'm ready for souls. I'm ready for souls to come in. I'm ready for. Now, I ain't just ready for the material stuff. I'm ready for the spiritual stuff. I'm ready, y'all. I got hyped up about this thing. We as people of God, we must go down in prayer. Look, let me show y'all something. Let me show you something. I'm speaking all through this list.
Oh, my God.
Look, it says like, what we just read. We just read verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. These are the weapons that we must use. This is the armor of God that we must put on. Amen. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is nothing but a helmet to protect your mind. Why do I need my mind protected? Because, like I said earlier, you have several gates where stuff spiritually can enter in and detour you from your walk with Christ. But if you have on the whole armor of God, if you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you have on the helmet of salvation, if you're taking the sword of the Spirit, you're taking the shield of faith, if you're having your loins girded about with truth, if you have it on, if you're having your feet charmed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then you are walking the way God would have you to walk as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let me show y'all something. Father, Lord, thank you, Jesus. It says in verse 2, we already read the armor. Now watch this. In verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all, and it does say with all, and supplication for all saints. He must be in prayer and supplication. What is supplication? That's moaning and groaning sometimes, y'all. Sometimes we need to go down in so deep prayer that we don't even know. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. That's why I said last week, tongues are very, very valuable to our walk with Christ. That's why I said when you receive salvation, you will speak in tongues. Tongues are a very, very valuable asset to walk with Christ, because tongues will help you move towards your deliverance. How would tongues help me move towards my deliverance? If you're going through something, look, I said it on last week, and I gave this example. My father, before he became pastor, my father a long time ago asked one of my relatives a question. How do you know that? And the relative said, well, I know that I'm saved because I asked the Lord to wake me up at a certain time. And I prayed and asked God. And my father told that individual, he said, well, just as well as the Lord heard you, do you not know that the devil heard you too? And the devil can have something happen to wake you up. See, the devil is shrewd. The devil is shrewd. He has no rules. In his mind, he ain't got no rules. The only thing that's keeping him from having no rules, no stipulations, is God at this point, at any point, really. But we, as the people of God, must be on guard at all times. Now, watch this. This is the reason why we need to have on the armor of God. This is one of the reasons. We are ambassadors for Christ. You don't believe me? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, and I'll read it. For which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly. There it goes.
Speak boldly. We got to tell somebody about this great gospel. I'm not talking about the gospel of Adam. I'm not telling about the gospel of Bishop Cook. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we had it our way is so messed up to me and to man.
Wait, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Amen. Our ways are not his ways. Our thought is not his thought. Look, and I know Bishop Cook will agree with me, and I use her a lot on this show. On this show, she's my cheerleading. She's my cheerleader back there. I hear her. but I'm gonna use Bishop Cook real quick because, you know, Bishop Cook might have a way of doing things. Now God gives us choice. We talked about that before. But Bishop Cook might have a way to lead somebody to Christ, and the Lord might say, Bishop, I don't want you doing it that way. I want you to do it this way. Now, what if she just went over there? What if she went over there in her own little way? And I'm going to use this. What if I went over there with her? Okay. Very small.
We need to do it our way. I got a word from the Lord that said we need to do it this way. And Bishop says, well, you know what, Adam? I agree with you. I think we need to do it our way. Do you know we're going to lose that soul because we didn't do it his way? Because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his. He knows what we need before we even need it. He's our GPS. I'm going to talk reality. He's our spiritual GPS. That's why I don't see why we can't follow the plan of God. The plan is so easy. But if we do it our way, what's the name of that person? He said, I did it my way. Well, guess what? I did it my way. You can't do it your way. In the world of advertising, Burger King said, it's your way. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. You cannot, this walk with Christ, this is the word of God, you cannot have it your way. This is a work in the cause in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. It should be, this is the way it should be. It should not be a democracy. It should be a dictatorship. And God is the dictator. I'm going to say it again. In the work, in the will of God, if your work is right, it should not be a democracy. It should be a dictatorship. That's the only way we have a dictatorship is in Christ. Because the Lord knows how to do it better than we can. That wasn't in the notes, y'all. This is a little side nugget. There you go. Now, I'm going to ask this. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in Jesus' name. I'm going to be saying that throughout the rest of the show, and show is on, in a moment out. Say it every once in a while. All right, now, I'm going to ask this question. Who is our enemy in this spiritual war? Now, I said before that some of us think that the people that come up against us is our enemy. Nope. Not. They're not your enemy. They're not my enemy. They're not Bishop Cook's enemy. that I'm on top of the enemy. I'm going to show you who it is. I have a list of who our enemy is in spiritual war. It is the devil. It is our me, Bishop Cook, you, me, our flesh. It is the spirits that are not of God. It is temptation, and it is worldly things. That is what we're fighting against. That is our enemy. And we can be our own worst enemy most times. Uh-oh. I said, well, Adam, why did you go there? I'm not my worst enemy. How am I my worst? Because when you listen to your flesh, you are your own worst enemy. You can stop yourself better than somebody else can. Well, how do I stop myself? How did I stop myself? Well, when you give the devil ammunition to fight against you, I don't give the devil ammunition to fight against you. You know, sometimes we do. Well, let me give you an example. Say you woke up and everything seemed like it was messed up. You woke up, you know, things started happening badly, and your day started off a little bit rocky. And you go off and say, man, this day is messed up all day. You haven't been through the whole day yet. You just started the day. One thing happens off of your daily schedule, and you say, oh, well, this day is going to be messed up all day.
You just think it is
messed up. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You cannot sit there and give the devil ammunition fight against you. When we say stuff like that, we'll give the devil ammunition. And I hate it when we give the devil ammunition to fight against our young people. And you might say, well, how am I giving the devil ammunition to fight against my children? I'm not giving the devil no ammunition to fight against my own child. I love my child. Yes, you are. You sit over there and say, just like your daddy, you know that their father is not in their life, or you know that their mother is not in their life, or you know that their mother or their father, their opposite parent is not there, or might be a little, their blood shit might be rocky. You go over there and say, oh, you just like your mom. You just like your daddy. You just don't be just like your mom. You don't be just like your daddy. Why would you say that? Are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? Why? The Bible says, yes, I know the Bible. You might say, well, the Bible tells the child to honor thy mother and thy father. And that's what they're supposed to mean in our hearts. The devil is a lie. The Lord gave a balance. The Lord says, this is what the Lord says, I'm going to give you the whole thing. The whole thing. Yes, he did tell the children to honor thy mother and thy father so your days might be long upon the land. He did. He exactly said that. But he also said, provoke not your child to wrath. That means do not provoke them to be angry. Now, are you going to do everything right as a parent? No. Are you going to be a perfect parent? No. Are they going to be perfect children? No. That's why the Lord gave a balance. Because it ain't just warfare about your spiritual, it's about your master too. Your children, look, let me tell you something. And are you ready for war? Warring is not just, I said warring sometimes for other people. Sometimes we got to war for our children. Look, I said this in a sermon one time. Pray for your children before they leave for school. If you got to anoint your children before they leave for school, do it. I would suggest that we anoint our children every day that they're in school. If they over the age of 21 and still living in your house or whatever, anoint them. If they 19, anoint them. 18, anoint them. I don't care what age they are. If they living in your house, if they still living in your house,
don't know what these children are faced with when they go to school every day. You don't know what spirits are. I said that in a sermon one time. You don't know what spirits are up inside that school building. These children are going through everything now. More than what I was in my days in school. I thought I went through a lot in school, but these young people nowadays, when my children go to school, I pray for them all the time now. Now, I pray for my children that they be good, strong young men. That's all for them. Now, I got my baby. He's not in school yet. I think he is, but he's not. We working on that, y'all. But my oldest and my second oldest, they both go to school. Now, they're only in elementary school. And sometimes they come and tell us some stuff that doesn't happen in that school building. And you would not believe some of the stuff that I hear my children tell me that's going on in the classroom, in the cafeteria, in this or in that. And it might seem minute to us, but it's big to them because they don't know how to deal with it. They go through issues just like everybody else. My son, one time, my middle son, he came to me, my son David, he came to me and said, problem at school. And he was dealing with another student. And he kept dealing with the student. And I told him, I told him to pray for them. Tell them that you're going to pray for them and see what they do. The next time came around, this student kept messing with me. And eventually I told him to tell the teacher, you know, all of that. He went and told the teacher. But before he told the teacher, he said, I'm going to pray for you. He told him that. And the principal got wind of it. Because the teacher sent my son and that other student down to the principal's office. And the principal asked, you know, what happened, and asked the student, asked my son and the other student what happened. And the other student said that my son said, I'll pray for them. And my son's principal called me personally and said, I would like to brag on David just a little bit. He said, I don't know what you're teaching about. He said, but whatever you're teaching them, because it's working. And it may not seem like it's working, but it is. He told me, he said that he told that student that I'm going to pray. So he said, I'm not gonna put my hands on you. I'm not going to teach you that. If I can remember correctly, the other student did put his hands on my son. And I told him, you know, pray for him. And I don't let nobody, you know, pick on him. But you let me and your mother deal with him. But he went and said he'll pray for him. And now from what I understand, these two are friends now. Amen. And the principal, it wasn't the teacher, it was the principal that called and told me about my son. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of teaching your children what to do in times of need. Because you're not going to always be there with them. You're not going to always. We have who are our enemies in the spiritual world? We have the devil, and I have a scripture. First Peter 5, verse 8. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? That's your enemy. Now watch this. Our flesh can be our enemy. Watch this. This is why I said you need to protect your gate, your eye gate, your ear gate, what you're conversating about. Watch your conversation, because watch this. Our flesh can be our enemy. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh,
and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These three are these three different things that I just named off, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These three areas are the only three areas that the enemy can attack you. Why? Because he attacked the Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane in these three areas. Amen. I'm gonna say it again. These are the only three ways that the devil himself and demons can attack, only in these three areas: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. Why? Because Jesus will not, as I said earlier, the Lord will not put more on you than what you can bear. If he didn't go through it, you ain't going to go through it. Amen? When he was on the earth, he went through everything man would go through just to be a what's the word I'm looking for? He wanted to be an example. There you go. Thank you, Lord. He wanted to be the example for us. So he had to go through what we went through, what we would go through on the earth to be that example. Amen? So he went through it. We can go through it. And you might say, well, I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Lord. I'm not. Okay, you're not the Lord. Yes, you're not the Lord himself. But you have the power on the inside of you. You have him on the inside of you. I had one of the brothers from a church say one time about my former pastor. Yes, he's a woman pastor. And some people don't believe in women pastors. But guess what? She got a big man down on the inside of her. You got the power on the inside of you. Amen? We have spiritual spirits that are not of God. Now watch this. Spirits that are not of God. This is in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He has given you power. Amen. Spirits that are not of God, he has given you power over those. He has given you power. And you might say, well, it didn't say nothing about no spirit. It didn't say nothing about no spirits. It just said, serpents and scorpions. Well, guess what? Do you not know that the serpent was speaking in the garden of Eden when it spoke to Eve? Because by man's knowledge, animals can't talk. Amen? So we have temptation. Now, the things about temptation, this is what the Bible says about temptation in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen? That shows us he won't put more on us than we can bear. That's why I said he knew that Job was going to be able to bear what Satan was able to do. He showed us in the word of God. Amen. And then we have the world.
Now, the world is shrewd. The world is definitely shrewd. The world is definitely, definitely shrewd. Itself, the world. Now, what does it say about the world? In 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, now, watch this. This is why we cannot do the things of the world. This is why we cannot be enticed by the things of the world. Because it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, here we go again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's why Jesus had to go through it. That's why the enemy can only attack in those three areas. Because it's out of the world. Amen. So, and in verse 17 it says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you do the will of God, you'll be able to overcome that thing of the world. You'll be able to overcome that temptation. You'll be able to overcome the world in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we? Now, this is the next question. And if you have any questions, just send them on in Jesus' name. How do we, as the saints of God, fight in this spiritual war? Now, we don't fight like man fights in a natural war, but we fight spiritually. How do we fight spiritually? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it tells us, for though we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, which means we're in the world, but we don't do like the world. We don't fight like the world. Spiritual, I'll give you an example. Some people go through depression. Depression is a spirit. You cannot fight off depression with natural stuff. As much as the world says, you can go to a counselor, or some people try to use alcohol to overthink. You can't fight the things with the flesh. Those are things of the flesh. The flesh might tell you, well, go ahead and get you a drink. You can't fight the world like that. You can't fight off that problem like that. I need a smoke. I'm overwhelmed. Well, you seek the Lord. Give your overwhelmness to God. Turn it over to Him and let Him work it out. Amen. That's how we fight. That's how we fight. Verse number 4. It shows us right here. For the weapons of all warfare are not carnal. That shows us it's not natural. You can't use the natural stuff. Amen. But mighty through God for pulling down a stronghold. Verse number 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. This casts down the imagination. What is casting down the imagination? Casting down the thought. Oh, you need it. You're going through depression. You need a drink. No, you don't. You better plead the blood of Jesus. That will cast down the imagination. That's your weapons. Use them. Why do we fight with spiritual weapons? Somebody asked. Why do we fight with spiritual weapons? Why can't I have a drink? Why can't I have a smoke? Why can't I why do we use spiritual weapons? When in the natural, it seems like the natural problems are so great because of this. We use the spiritual weapons because it says it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is nothing in this world that is able to help you in your spiritual time of need than spiritual things of God. You can't use a man, you can't use a woman, you can't use a drink, you can't use a smoke, you can't use a party, you can't use none of that, you can't use a job, career, money, none of that, car, clothes, houses. None of that's going to help you if you're spiritually down. And if you're not spiritually sound, you have to have spiritual substance, because you're going to be empty inside. And if you're empty, you might find it to bring you temporary happiness, but happiness and joy are two different things. Joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a feeling. Emotions and feelings are two different things. Good Lord. Well, how do I know that the spiritual weapons will work if I use them? Well, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He brings you strength. And like I said, those spiritual weapons. Now, let me give you a list. I only have a few. The list of spiritual weapons. As we said, prayer, praise, worship, faith, and the Word of God. I'm going to say them again, and I want you to write these down. The first one, prayer, fasting, praise, worship, and the Word of God. These are the things. These are the weapons. And you're giving, and there are more weapons than that, but these are the weapons that we're going over today, because there are more weapons than that. But these are just a few weapons that we can use. Amen. Because there's so much more that we don't have, you know, a whole lot of time to go over all of them. But we're going through some of them. Amen. The main ones. Amen. We definitely need the prayer. We definitely need the fasting. We definitely need those to even just stay spiritually alive. We need the prayer. We need that communication with God. We need the fasting, because we need to push. We need to crucify our flesh. Amen. We need to pray. Amen. We need to build up our praise. We need to build up. We need to build up ourselves. We need to worship. We need the faith. Without faith, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We need the faith, amen? And we need the Word of God. We cannot go a day or two or three without the Word of God. We need the Word of God in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you some scriptures to back up what we're saying today. As far as prayer and fasting, if we could go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, and Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. And it says, hereby this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. We must pray, we must fast all the time. If you're not praying on a daily basis, then you got to fast every day. But at least, you should at least fast one or two times out of the week, every week. Why should I fast at least once or twice? Because And you ain't even got to do a whole 72 hours. And what I mean by fasting, let me go there. I'm about to go there real quick because we're running out of time. There's something that man made up called a Daniel fast. I'm about to break this down because I know some people take medication and things like that and all that. Now, I'm about to break this down. When you fast, and I'm going old school, eating and drinking water, eating fruits and vegetables and drinking water is not fasting. If you want to fast, why would you want to fast like Daniel when you can fast like Jesus? We're not trying to be like Daniel. We're trying to be like more like God. Amen. Jesus, now I know he fasted 40 days. You might say, well, I hear y'all. You might say, well, he fasted 40 days. I can't go no 40 days. Well, guess what? You can do three. You can do three. You can do 72 hours. You can do 48 hours. You can even do 24 hours. You can do 12 to 4. That's 24 hours. I'll break it down for you even more. If you want to do 3 days, 12 to 4, that's 72 hours right there. That's 72 hours. Amen. 12 to 4 one day, 12 to 4 the next day, and 12 to 4 the next day. Or if you want to go straight through, that's 72 hours. Amen. You want to do 48 hours, fast 2 days. You can either go straight through a night, day and night, or you can do fast 12 to 4 one day and then 12 to 4 the next day. But you have to do some fast. And eating anything that you think you can eat is not fasting. That's just a cop-out. You gonna fast? If we gonna fast, we need to fast like Jesus fasted. Amen. We need to fast like Moses fasted, because Moses fasted like God told him to. Amen. 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 We need to fast that way. We're getting down to the wire, y'all. We're getting to the wire. Amen. So we went through prayer and fasting now. Praise. This is another weapon. How do we know that praise is that weapon? Okay, I'm about to show you. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 4, and verse number 6. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, this is how we know that praise works. Soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Amen. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. They're going to know once you give that praise off, hey, something done happened. Something's broken. Amen. That's where that praise is that weapon. You just activated something. You just helped somebody with your praise. Verse number 4. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go to verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Your praise might activate somebody else to praise the Lord that ain't praised him today. But your praise can activate somebody else to praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You can seek the Lord in your praise, and he will deliver you because he hears you. He hears you. Well, how do I know that he hears me? Uh-oh. Verse number 6, that tells us right there. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. Well, if he did it for David, he can do it for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If he can do it for you, he can do it for me. Amen. Our worship. The song says, my worship is for real. Let me tell you something about worship. You have to have his spirit on the inside of you to be able to worship him. How do I know? If we go to John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now it is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You have to be able to worship him with his spirit on the inside. You cannot worship. Everybody can't worship God. Everybody cannot worship God. I say everybody can't worship God. What's your name? Everybody can't worship God. Oh, yes, they can. No, they can't. You have to have his spirit on the inside of you to be able to worship him. Everybody can praise the Lord. As the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. But everybody can worship him. You gotta have his spirit. You gotta have his spirit on the inside of you to worship him. Amen. The next one is faith. And I'm trying to get through all of this. I only got a couple more minutes, but faith. Now, how does faith work? Faith helps us in our spiritual war, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. We said that first. Amen. But this is another one in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what things not seen. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why I said your faith will activate your praise, and you've done activated another weapon. Activated another weapon. Amen. Amen. And the last but not least one, the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. I'll read that in your hearing. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing difference of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow. It is a distance of the thought and heart, and of the heart. Amen. So this is stronger than any two-edged sword, the Word of God. It cuts out. It helps cut out the things that are not of God in our lives. Amen. I'm giving you just these last two scriptures. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, and this is a big one, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is what the enemy told the devil, or told the serpent in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. He used his own word against the enemy. And if God had to use the word, why shouldn't we? We have to use the Word of God if God had to use it. Amen. And the last scripture I want to leave with you is Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. This is what we need. This is what we need. Are you ready for war? Are you ready for war? In Jesus' name. Are you ready for war? I hope you are, because I am. I'm ready to war for souls. I'm ready to war for my family. But we have to have on the whole armor of God to do so. Because we don't know when we'll be fighting. We don't know when we'll be on the battle line. We could be on the battle line in the middle of the night in prayer. You know, when you pray those secret prayers, you're on the battlefield. You're fighting against spirits, against demons. When you say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, don't you know you're fighting for them? In Jesus' name. You're fighting. And every day, it's a constant war. Every day. We have to war for ourselves. We have to war for others. Are you ready for war? I hope that this topic today blessed your soul. on today. I hope that everything that God has for you, that you will receive it on this week. I pray that the Lord continually blesses your soul and minds and your heart on this week. In Jesus' name. I want to say before we leave, I know, and we've all seen it in Jesus' name. We've all seen that the virus is going down slowly but surely. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to do social distancing. Those that are in the Texas area, I know the mask mandate has been lifted. But let me tell you something. Be vigilant. Be wise. Be wise. My family in Texas, be wise. My spiritual family in Texas, be wise. And make sure that you're ready for when this virus breaks, that you're ready to go and praise the Lord like never before. Because I believe that joy is coming. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to get into heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face and peace. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And if you do not hear from me again, you don't hear my voice on next week. And if we don't see each other in this world, in this life, I will see you in the last day. In Jesus' name. God bless you. In Jesus' name.